Good morning. Happy New Year. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church. I'm a little nervous Dr. McDonald's not here. He's here somewhere. Okay, we'll keep our fingers crossed. We do have a couple announcements this morning. You'll notice in your bulletin there's some inserts. You'll see the pink insert. Is a reservation for the Church Family Night Supper this coming Wednesday. Please fill that out and put that in the offering plate. As well, you'll see, or you should see, a slip of paper that has either a word or a couple of words on it. Hold on to that. That is very important. And Dr. McDonald will explain all of that in his sermon this morning. Do want to let everyone know that Ina Dodson has been selected to exhibit her artwork at the Danville Museum of Fine Arts and History. The exhibit is January the 13th through March the 3rd, and there will be a reception on January the 13th from 2:30 to 4:30, so it's really exciting for Ina, and we want to share in that excitement and that celebration. We do have some updates on some folks. Randy Bradshaw is back in his apartment, and he is recovering well, so that is good news. Nolte is home, and she is recovering. And Lee Norman has moved from the church militant to the church triumphant. She passed away Friday. Her funeral service will be tomorrow. It will be here at 2 o'clock with a graveside at Mountain View, and a reception will follow at Lee's home, and you all are invited. Dr. McDonald is still not here. And I am really getting nervous. But I have good news. Jesus is alive and with us. Let us prepare our hearts to worship God. Thank you. Let's join together in our responsive call to worship found printed in your bulletin. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your hearts shall thrill and rejoice. Let us worship God by joining together in hymn of praise number 69, O morning star, how fair and bright. Take your seats. It is right and proper that we humble ourselves before God and acknowledge that we have fallen short of being the people that God created us to be. Let's join together in our prayer of confession, and then in silence, let us admit to God what lies hidden in our hearts. Source of salvation and bringer of light, we fail to sense the mystery of your love. We bear grudges against our neighbors, while it is your nature to forgive. We hold tightly to our possessions while Christ blesses the poor. In him you have spoken peace, yet we live in turmoil. We care little for this planet with our habitation. In mercy, forgive us and help us to amend our ways. Amen. Let us join together in the assurance of pardon. God did not send Christ into the world to condemn the world, but to be its Savior.
We trust God's word. We are a forgiven people. Thanks be to God.
children would come forward. Uh-oh. Oh, hey, big man, I'm glad you're here. More so than usual. Well, this is good. The children's chat that I have this morning is one that you and I can talk about and that you will understand, but I think it's one that sort of takes aim at the adults in the group, too. Last week, you'll remember, I don't know if you were here last week or not. Were you here? You were here last Sunday. Mr. Shelton talked about a manger scene that they had at their house. Remember, you guys put the little pieces on a table over here? At our house, for years and years and years, when our grandsons were little boys, I mean, they're big guys now, but when they were little boys, we had a toy box in our den. And we, Ava, my wife and I, changed toys in the toy box regularly. And when they would come in the back door at our house, the first thing they would do would be, "Hi, Tom, hi, Ava, what's in the toy box?" Or sometimes it was just, "What's in the toy box? Back at you in a few minutes." But they'd always checked out the toy box. And we had a Fisher-Price. You know about Fisher-Price toys? They had little people. I'll bet y'all know about Fisher-Price little people. You've probably stepped on them in your bare feet and can remember us. But these little plastic Fisher-Price people. And we had a manger scene that was made out of the little Fisher-Price people. They had little cars and trucks. But our manger scene was all of the characters in the manger scene, including the star of the manger scene, who would be, who's a star? Absolutely, very good. Jesus, say it with surety. You know it's true. Jesus was a star. Well, they came in one day, I don't know which day of the week it was, and we couldn't find Jesus. We couldn't find him anywhere, and we made it through the rest of the season, and we put our Fisher-Price manger scene away with the rest of the Christmas stuff, and no Jesus. So during the Christmas season, and this might be something that the grown-ups can relate to, but during the Christmas season that year, we lost Jesus. We couldn't find him. We couldn't find him. Although, we know because we are church-going people from the time we were tiny little people ourselves, we know that Jesus was always in our heart, but we couldn't find plastic Jesus, Fisher-Price Jesus. Well, we got busy, and we found a substitute, a replacement, Fisher-Price Jesus. And the next Christmas, we put them back in the toy box, and my older grandson, who was probably about this tall, came charging in. And they're grabbing the manger scene pieces out and arranging them. And he turns around and he says, "Tom," that's me, "Tom, I found Jesus." And I thought about it many times since then. I thought, well, that's some of that Baptist recessive genes in there. You know, I found Jesus. But I found Jesus. And that was something that I think about often. Especially during Christmas, because a lot of times, if we aren't careful, we get so busy at Walmart and at Sam's and at Belk's and who knows where, shopping and so forth, that we kind of lose Jesus. And it's important for us to find it. All right, here's another question, so I put you on the spot here. Where do we know Jesus is today? He's not this one that's in my pocket, this little plastic Fisher-Price Jesus. He's everywhere, but where do I keep it? In my heart. Jesus is in my heart. He lives there in my life every single day. And I don't have to go and look for him in the toy box or look for him in the den or wherever, because I know I have found Jesus. And I hope that all of you have, and I hope that you have too. It's really important. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come here together and to worship you in this time and place. We thank you for the fellowship that is afforded to us by this wonderful congregation of people. We thank you for the opportunity to worship your Son, Jesus Christ. And we would ask you, Lord, we would ask you to help us to find Jesus and to keep him in our hearts every single day. Lord, we make this prayer and all of our prayers in your Son's strong name. Amen.
Let's join together in our Unison prayer for illumination. May the word of God spoken today compel us to worship without ceasing to the praise of Christ's glorious grace. Amen. Our first scripture lesson this morning is from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camel will cover your land. Young camels of Midian and Ephah and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you to Jackson for filling in there at the beginning. Certain things have to be taken care of before services, and so we got here as soon as we could. Our gospel lesson for this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter, the first 12 verses. Here on Epiphany, the 12th day of Christmas, we read of the final characters in that manger scene to arrive, as we read about the wise men. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I also may go and pay homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Just before I start the service, I did want to take a moment of personal privilege and to thank everyone during the holiday season for their gifts, their cards, their thoughts and prayers. My family greatly appreciated that, and it is very good to be back with you. But once again, thank you for all that you have done for me in these last 6 months. So now, are you ready for this? What is this, you might ask? This is the light of God shining in your life. On this day when we ordain and install elders and deacons, when we celebrate Epiphany and read the story of the wise men following the star to Bethlehem, when we read Isaiah's prophecies that call us to arise and shine, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, what are we going to do with the light of Christ shining in our lives? What if we don't feel like shining on a cold winter's morning? What if we don't feel qualified or worthy to serve as a deacon or an elder? What if we don't particularly want the light of God shining in parts of our lives that we would rather keep hidden? Are we ready for the light of Jesus Christ to shine in our lives? The answer, like so many things in faith, is ready or not, here it comes. Isaiah recognizes the darkness's presence. "For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples," the prophet cries. The more appropriate question then is, given the reality of the darkness, and the reality of the light that shines in it, what are we going to do with it? Are you going to follow the star? Are you going to bring your gifts, poor as they are? Are you going to reflect that light so that others might see? Isaiah continues, "The Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." Are you going to share that light through how you react to others? Are you going to try to keep that light to yourself? Are you going to hide for fear that someone or somehow you will distort the light? Well, first of all, we don't have the option of hiding it. There is no way we can keep the light to ourselves. People will come. People will come, Tom and Eddie and Mike and Brenna. People will come, Nicole and Kathy and Kim and David. People will come, Will and Dave. People will come, all you First Presbyterians. So how are you going to react? Isaiah gives us a charge and a commission. Lift up your eyes. Look around you. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away. Your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice. It is a daunting task to share the light of Christ with the world. It's always been that way. Paul found himself imprisoned, shipwrecked, beaten in order to share the light of Christ with all he encountered. In Ephesians, he writes to the believers from prison. He felt the reason for being a prisoner was for him to show Christ, the light of Christ, share the light of Christ with those who previously had never heard about him. All he endured, all he undertook, brought the Gentiles closer to Christ and to God's light, bearing the chosen one in order that all would be loyal members of the same body. Those who had been far off would now be brought close. They would be one with God and one with each other. News of the birth of the King of Jews, born in that small outlier town in Bethlehem, reached all the way east, thousands of miles. Herod was frightened by the baby's arrival. God's expansive reach excluded no corner of creation, no far-flung town or powerful palace, no shepherd or earthly king. In today's world, where we enjoy the status quo, we need to be frightened. This small child trumped and continues to trump any political, military, or temporal power. Nations, Gentiles, wise men from the east, poor ones from the field, tax collectors once willing to capitulate to Rome, hungry crowds of women and children, all were united to Christ, enlisted to serve God fully, and sent to proclaim with ears to hear that their worth was God-given, that their dignity was God-ordained, that their loyalty was to God alone. And those can be frightening words. There are many reactions to the light of the world come in the form of the Christ child. In contrast to Herod's fear, we have much more positive reactions from the wise men. They come, they pay homage to the Christ child. We have the reaction of the shepherds. They respond with worship and joy an unrestrained proclamation. We have the reaction of Mary, his mother, who pondered all these things in her heart. But we also have the Pharisees and the chief priests that plot to kill him at one point. Some will leave all that they have to follow him. Some possessed by evil spirits will recognize him. The most vulnerable will cry out to him for mercy. The hungry and the thirsty will be satisfied. The estranged will be reconciled. The guilty as sin and the guilty of sin will be forgiven. All because mercy now trumps sacrifice. Grace abounds. Justice will rush through the streets like the rivers bursting their banks. The most recalcitrant of wrongdoers will miraculously repent and seek to make things right. The world is about to turn because nothing remains the same with the inbreaking of the light of Christ, the coming of the glory of God, the incarnation of the Son of Man, the birth of the King of Jews. Not then and not now. As we begin a new calendar year, what revelation does the birth of Jesus bring to you? How do we respond? Fear, homage, worship, silent awe, boisterous proclamation, selling all we have, giving back five times what we've taken, forgiving seven times seven, repentance, longing for real reconciliation, listening to the Spirit, even when it defies Herod and puts us in danger. In your bulletin this morning, you have these curious little slips of paper. You may have been wondering what those are. Now, if I had been more creative and had more time this week to do something different, I might have done what it said to do, which was put these little words on stars. But I am not creative, and I didn't have the time. But these are what are called star words. I'm not sure who started this practice, and apparently it's been around for a while, but I just read about it this week. I'm always behind the times with current things, but the words are randomly distributed, so there is no hidden agenda here. They are words like patience and courage, receive or respect, leadership, loyalty, or the one I got this morning was drama. Now, what you do with these words is up to you. But I would like you to take it home with you to think about whatever words you have. It is a way of making epiphany applicable to daily life. Now, I'm realistic. I know some will discard them and throw away and think they're stupid without another thought. Some, though, in other churches, have taken these words to heart. They've had an impact in their sense of God's presence. Maybe they're a challenge to you. Maybe they're a reassurance to you. It's the same way with God-given gifts. Some use them, some ignore them, some share them. Like the light of Christ shining in your life, it is really up to you what you are going to do with it. One word, though, can make a difference. One person can change the world. Epiphany is about more than just me and Jesus. Whatever our star word is, whatever revelation we have had during this Christmas and Advent season, whatever response and reaction to the coming of the Christ child comes not just for you and Jesus, or not just for me and Jesus. It is for the sake of the world. Epiphany, the light of Christ, is for the sake of the world. The people of Israel were given the light of God so that nations would stream to them, would be drawn to them. God's glory. Paul is a prisoner of Christ for the sake of the Gentiles, so that they would be one body. Jesus Christ coming to earth is good news for all people. Herod's fears were warranted, because anyone abusing their power, exploiting the vulnerable, hurting the world that God so loves, will be overthrown. Our Star Wars, our revelation, our epiphany, if it comes from the Lord, entails participating in an uprising of justice, the insurgence of grace, the coup of mercy, the turning over of the tables, the mutiny of self-sacrificing love. And the question is, are you ready for this? Amen. Our hymn of response is number 63, As With Gladness Men of Old.
Thank you.
have a couple of prayer concerns that have already been made known to me, but we definitely need to keep Nulty Wiseman and Randy Bradshaw in our prayers this day. Nulty had a trip to the emergency room, but I think she's doing much better, last I heard. And Randy is back to Stratford and is back to, we're just glad he's back. Also, we want to keep in our prayers the family and friends of Lee Norman. Did you tell him about that? Okay. So Jackson already told you that the service will be at 2 o'clock tomorrow here at church, and we want to keep them in our prayers as they have lost a very precious member of their family. Do we have any other additional prayer concerns or joys today? Let us turn our hearts and minds then to God in prayer. Lord God, we come to you in joy, reveling in the light of Christ shining in our lives at all times, enjoying a wonderful season of Advent and Christmas, and yet looking forward to a new year. We give you thanks for all those who have agreed to be elders and deacons in this church. The call is from you. The support comes from us. And so we ask that you would bless them in their work in the coming years. Bless them with your presence and your guidance, leading them to lead us in the way that you would have this congregation go. Be with all those who mourn the loss of loved ones. It is especially a painful time when it comes here in the holidays, and so we ask that you would be with the family and friends of Lee Norman. She was a precious part of their lives, and she now goes to be with you. Her pain has ended, her suffering has gone, and she now knows the full revelation of your presence with her. Be with us who are left behind, that we might feel the blessed assurance as well, that you have conquered death, that you have given us life everlasting. Let us witness to that fact. Be with all those who are in need of special prayers, whether that be for recovery, for healing, for guidance, for strength. Whatever the need, Lord, you hear us when we pray. You hear us when we pray aloud. You hear us as we lift up silently those who we wish only you to know about. We come in confidence that your blessings are upon us, that you are reaching out to us in love, in guidance, in wisdom. Be with Claudine, with Nulty, with Randy and Amy. Be with Lisa, Charles and Liv, Matthew, Diane, Martha Jo, and Gail. Continue to hold in your loving arms Bill and Beth, Ellen, Dana, Friel, Ella, Sandra, Jim, Tom. We give you thanks for your presence and healing mercies to Joe, to Helen, to Jay, to Diane and Mary Ann, to Willem, to Jane. Be with all those who serve this country and who protect our freedoms, whether that be in the armed services in this country or throughout the world, whether it be the first responders in our community. All sacrifice, all give of their time and their talents as a shining example of what it means to give for the benefit of others. Protect them. Guide them. Lord, be with the people of Togo who are going through a turbulent time filled with violence. We ask that you would bring a sense of peace where there is no peace, safety where it is a precious commodity, and guidance to a just and worthy solution. Lord, hear our prayers and be with us, binding us together in the light of your love, praying the prayer that your Son taught us when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Will the ushers please come forward for the morning offering? Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for so many blessings, and yet our gratefulness pales in comparison to your generosity. Guide us in all that we give and in all the ways that we serve, that wherever we go and whatever we might do, it might be to your greater glory, serving you as you have shown mercy to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to make a command decision here. 391 is a lot of verses in the hymn book. Let's sing the first two today.